The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Anyway, if you'd like to, give us a call, 222-8255. Talking about the different fish, just to let Betsy know that, the bigger the fish, the thicker they're going to be anyway. So any of the fish like that are thicker when they're, a flayed off of a larger fish. But grilled like that, I've never known some of the fish to be tough. So, but anyway, back to, I wish you had a video on that, how you do that hook remover out of your hand there, whatever.
Yeah, they have a video on YouTube. That's where I got the idea of this. But it was a little bit stuff I had around my garage, and I just took a lure, cut the hooks off, tied a piece of monofilament line to it. Looks like a chicken rig almost when you get through with it. But
why'd you have these knots in there? Just curious.
I put those knots in there to keep that line from a little easier to handle.
Oh, yeah.
Because if not, it's going to be just everywhere.
Oh, I see. Yeah, tangled up.
And
but you never thought about having, and what Al's got here is a lure, a lip diving lure, small one. It's about maybe 3 inches. Excuse me. And he's got the string tied onto the front loop for the hook, where you put your where the front hook is usually on the lure. But that kind of gives you a T-handle.
Yes.
To be able to pull, instead of just trying to wrap that line around your finger to pull that hook, it kind of gives you a good little T-handle there to pull on that.
Exactly.
And I kind of like that part of it for sure. You know, because you go to pull a hook out of somebody's hand or whatever, your own hand, you don't want to do it two or three times.
No.
You know, you want to snatch that thing out one time and have it done.
What do you go, oh, look, there's Haley's coming. Zap.
Yeah, exactly. And sort of like I did with one of my customers. He had a big trout on one day, and he was standing on the back deck of my boat, and he's, reeling the trout in. Well, the trout came off and lure. I mean, he had it right at the boat. And it was, I say big trout, it's probably about 4 pounds or so. But had so much pressure on that bent rod that when that lure come out of the trout, it come up and hit his pants leg just above his shoe, and I'm like, Ray, he's probably, I think 6'6", 6'8". I mean, big old tall guy. And, he said, do you think you get this out of my jeans? I think, cause he kind of messed with it a little bit. And I went over and looked at it and I'm like, yeah, I said, I'm probably going to have to rip your jeans. I said, I can probably pull it out with pliers okay, And so I start getting down there to his foot, and start messing with it. And I'm like, the thing is not just in his jeans. I said, is this thing in your leg? And he said, no, I don't think so. Well, that hook had went through, I guess, so fast he didn't feel it or whatever. I don't know. But it was stuck in his leg, and it was past the barb. And I said, we got a couple things we can do here. One is end the trip. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning, And I said, you go get, get somebody get this out of there. Cause I don't like pulling hooks out of people, I would rather they, me show them how to do it and let them do it. But anyway, he says, no, he says, man, just jerk it out. And I said, I can't believe you don't feel. And I pulled his pants leg up a little bit and then I see the hook in there. And I can't believe you don't feel this. He goes, I don't feel it at all. And so I'm kind of moving it just a little bit to see how that barb's in there. And I said, I could grab the pliers and just, turn that barb just right and pop it out of there. I've done that in my fingers before, using the same type of, like you would push down on the hook.
Yeah, you bend that hook down.
Yeah, so you can pull it, and that way it comes out without tearing your skin.
Right.
Well, when I do it myself, which I've done it several times, I do it with pliers because I can't hold the hook down with one hand and pull it with the other. You know, I mean, I can only pull it with one hand. So anyway, I take the pliers and do it. And so I said, you know, I can try to do that if you want me to. He goes, oh, yeah, just jerk it out. He said, let's, you know, you got a Band-Aid? I'll just put a Band-Aid on it. I said, okay. And I kept saying, you know, as I was getting the pliers ready, I said, I just cannot believe you don't feel this thing, you know. I jerked. There he goes, I feel it now. Well, but, you know, it bled a little bit. We put a Band-Aid on. I gave him some peroxide. I always bring peroxide on the boat, you know. And we put some peroxide on, put a Band-Aid on it. He was good to go for the rest of the day. But I couldn't believe he couldn't feel that hook in his leg at all.
Well, the reason why I brought this up today is if you go out of town, you know, and if you're fishing with artificial and you get just something happens and you get a hook into you,
mm-hmm.
You don't want to end the trip, go in.
Yeah.
I mean, just have something simple like this. Have a good pair of bull dykes or dyke pliers, not needle nose. Try to cut that split ring, get that hook away from the lure, and just put this loop at the end of this mono line, put that loop next to the bar down there where it's into your flesh, and then bend your hook down and then jerk. Don't play around with it. Jerk it, slap out.
Yeah, you want to try to, like I say, you want to try to do it one time.
One time.
You know, pop it out of there one time. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to post this on the Still Just Fishing Show Facebook page so when people, you know, can pull it up there and see how that string's tied to that lure. But I think that's a lot handier than trying to wrap string around your fingers or something to jerk that out, and that's one of the things I like about that is to be able to have that T-handle where you can hold it, and when you go to jerk it doesn't slide out, you know, slide through your fingers or anything.
I wish I had this on a fishing trip I had with Charlie a few years back, and it seems as though the smallest trout always gets you. I mean, they jump around a lot, and Charlie got my attention. He said, Al, I need your help. And I said, what is it? And he had both hands hooked on this trout and this lure. And Charlie, you go ahead and explain what happened.
Basically, Al is saying he has refined his technique of removing hooks because of my propensity of trout hooking. I mean, I don't know. He's probably gotten hooks out of me a half a dozen times or more because, well, you get these small trout, and as Al says, they're pretty active, and you try to be tender with them to keep from tearing their mouths up and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, it seems like they're hooked, you're hooked, and I'm hollering, Al, I need help here. So we were over in Steen Hatchie one day, and, you know, you catch a pile of those small trout, 12, 13 inches long, and all of a sudden, there's one hook in the trout, and I'm fishing with the artificial. This got three trebles on it. And one hook's, the front hook's got me in the left hand. The rear hook's got me in the right hand. And
that's
we're tangled up and can't move. And I think Al said, oh, I see a chance here to catch more fish while you can't do anything. But he come back there and he took care of the trout first. Then he got the hooks out of me and we continued on. But he, like I said, he's refined his technique. He's pretty good at removing hooks now out of me.
I had a few removed from me too.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've removed, like I say, usually I take them out, you know, I remove them out of myself because, you know, you don't know how people are going to be able to do that. So I had one time that was so painful that whenever I went to remove it, I actually was, of all things, this was kind of dumb. I was out by myself, and just that'll kind of show you. Of course, since we're going on break, I'll kind of tell you about that just for let people know. We'll talk about that when we come back. But that's one of the dangers of fishing by yourself, you know.
Yes.
And what I'd done is I had dropped, my wife wanted some fish for dinner. I dropped some customers off for a half a day trip, and I went out and thought, you know, I'll go get three or four fish and come back. Yeah, I was by myself. We'll be right back.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And anyway, I had had a half a day trip with some fellas, and I took them back to the boat ramp, and you know, so I went back out. I was going to get three or four trout because we was going to fry up some trout. So I went over this little place where I had just left, you know, so I knew the trout was in there. So I thought, well, I'll go over there and get us some, you know. And I went over there, and the first trout I caught was about 20 inches, and of course, things flopping all around, and I don't usually net them when I catch them. If I catch them, I'll just kind of see how they're hooked when I get them up to the boat, just kind of put them in the boat because, you know, if they look like they're hooked okay, they're not going to come off, especially when there's trebles. So anyway, I pick him up, put him in the boat. He's flopping all around. It kind of calms down a little bit, and so I pick up the line, reach over to grab him, and he flips just right and puts that treble hook right in the joint of my index finger. And I mean, it went through the joint itself, like between the bones and the knuckle there. And immediately, of course, it was him flopping around. I went down on my knees and, you know, grabbed the trout with my legs, you know, got him between my legs and grabbed him. But it hurt so bad right in that joint. And it wasn't bleeding or anything. But then I tried to, you know, get the fish off. I let him calm down some more, you know, finally got him off. And actually, at that point, I threw him back in the water. So I didn't get to take fish home, you know. But I threw him back in the water. I'm looking at my finger. I'm thinking, you know, I could cut this thing off and all, but I got to go put the boat on the trailer and all that stuff, you know, and everything before I could get it out. And I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and get it out. Well, I was in about 5-6 feet of water. So this is before I had my GPS trolling motor. I took the anchor rope and dropped it down and tied it off on the cleat, and I let about 30 foot of water rope out because I didn't want to pass out if it was, because it was really painful right in that joint. And I said, if I passed out, this boat's liable to drift anywhere, you know. So I set the anchor down. I grabbed the pliers, and I kind of moved it around a little bit to see how I was going to take it out. You could actually see the hook on the inside of my knuckle kind of poking out there a little bit, but it was too painful. I couldn't push it through. I tried to push it through and I couldn't do it. So I said, well, here it goes. I turned that thing and I jerked it one good time. And as soon as I was sitting on my cooler seat there, as soon as I did that, I got so nauseated and I thought I was going to pass out. So I just got down on my knees on the floor of the boat, leaned against the side of the boat and sat there. It probably took me 15 minutes to get my composure back up, you know, and everything. And, of course, I put the rod up and got the anchor up and I went home.
I was going to ask if you kept fishing.
No.
You had enough that day.
That being that was, if, you know, I've had hooks in my fingers and all, you know, back of your hand and actually my earlobe one time and stuff like that. But actually that one between, I mean, when it went into that joint, that hurt so bad. And when I got home, what I did was I made me a little thing, you know, to, like a, I don't know, you call it a splint or whatever, you know, with a piece of wood and taped it around my finger so I wouldn't bend it because it hurt so bad when I bent it. I guess I might have tore up something in there. And then my wife kept telling me I should go to the doctor. Or of course, me, you know, I'm working the next day. I can't go. So, you know. But anyway, I wore that thing for a couple of days just because I'd take it off and it hurt so bad and I'd put it back on right in the joint of that finger. But you never know, you know, when you're going out there fishing like that and you're doing it by yourself, it can be, you know, become pretty dangerous. So you never know what happens. And then again, when you get, you know, my age, you kind of have to worry about if things going to happen to you too, you know. And
yeah, when you turn 25 or 30, you know.
Yeah. That's been a long time ago.
I find myself when I'm going fishing at night,
mm-hmm.
can't find nobody to fish. Well, I get the bug. I want to go. So mm-hmm. I'll go by myself. And I make sure that I got my inflatable on. And mm-hmm. I tell my wife, you know, this is where I'm going to go. And, you know, if I don't come back, you know, we're about the area I'm going to be fishing in. But you're right. Fishing by yourself, you got to watch because the river or the ocean, but mainly the river for us, non-discriminatory. Mm-hmm. It will kill you whether who you are, male, female, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous, and you got to watch it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. The way the different currents and stuff, and of course I see these guys on TV and, you know, in lakes and stuff, and these bass boats going 75, 80 miles an hour, you know. And I mean, you don't want to do that in the river because I mean, y'all have hit current lines before. You feel that boat slide, you know, just hitting the current line. You feel the back end of that boat fishtail a little bit, you know. So I don't even run my boat wide open at all. At 250 on the back will really move it, and I don't need to go that fast, you know. It's because, like you say, you hit the wave wrong, you know, hit one of those current lines or something like that. You want to be careful. Plus, there's things out in the water.
Yep.
I mean, it kind of got me last week. You know, a week ago yesterday, that the guy's heading to the checkout point for the Kingfish tournament. I'm out there, you know, 5:30 in the morning, easing around because it's, you know, heading toward the Browns Creek, in the boat because it's pitch dark and you can't see anything. And these guys are flying 30, 40 miles an hour right by me, you know? So, I mean, I stay right by me. They're out in the channel, but you know, you never know. I mean, when you have usually a full moon, too, you have these flood tides and stuff that washes all that stuff. There's still a lot of stuff off, you know, on the banks from Hurricane Irma. And a
lot of docks on there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, matter of fact, yesterday, coming back from getting the ladyfish at Mill Cove, right up there by Blunt Island, almost to the rocks at Blunt Island, you know, that stick out, when we were heading back up toward Mayport, there was probably a 15-foot piling floating around over there.
Mm.
You know, it was about 150 foot from the shore. I mean, it was out of the channel, which was good, but you hit that thing, you know, 5:00 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, doing 40 miles an hour, you know, you're going to have some damage, you know. So I always tell people, you know, fishing at night like that, I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't fish at night, but then, you know, taking other people and all that, you know, like taking clients and things. But how was the fishing at night? When you last time you went?
Last time I went, it was not like I would like, but the fish were a lot smaller, and it was blowing. It had a lot of chop on the water. I like a real calm,
yeah,
night, high tide, with some, you know, where the bait has a chance to congregate around the lights and so forth. And
what do you like to throw when you do that?
Well, first of all, I like to ease up on a dock, not, you know, be kind of stealthy.
Yeah.
And usually, I mean, it's not rocket science. You just throw up there close to where the light is and let it hit and pause, and then slowly bring it back out. And if they're there, they usually get it on the first cast, if they're there. And once you hit those spots a couple of times, then you start going out to the out edges of the light, which usually carry or attract larger fish. And because a larger fish is going to be in the shadows. But some docks really hold fish and some don't. But usually, I mean, it's always like game on when you go. But here lately, it's like everything else. It's the pattern's all different.
Right. Yeah. Now. I mean, do you like to I know friends of mine had went out there and they used to just throw live shrimp on a hook. And that was it. You know, no weight or anything, no jig head or nothing. And they would like, so it would drift down slow. And they used to tear up the trout doing that. Of course, you got to have a light line to be able to, you know, flip it over there, you know, with just no weight on it at all, you know. But you got big enough shrimp, it'd probably be similar to, you know, a lure. I mean, a light lure. I know you used to do it around the lights at the Danes Point Bridge up in the cove, way out in the middle there. And he said, boy, those lights out there worked really good. And then that changed, seemed it didn't help it much anymore. What they would do is they'd sit in the dark under the bridge and then kind of just throw it out there and let it, you know, drift down about right where the edge of the light comes out from under the bridge. And I mean, I've seen photos that he's shown me, and I say he's my neighbor. I've seen the fish. There's some nice fish come out of there, but that don't seem to be working like that, like it used to.
Yeah, you work the shadow lines. That's you know, that transition.
Yeah.
That's where they seem to kind of, you know, it's just like fishing a tide rip.
Mm.
You know, the fish will kind of lay in the dark water, and they come out and chase stuff that's in the clear water, the clean water.
And that's what he would do, is sit in the shadow and kind of pitch it over and let that current just take it right into the light, you know. And then that's, he said, you get a strike. I mean, as soon as you get in that light, you get a strike. And I think, you know, a lot of it probably has to do with those. I mean, if you look at shrimp under a light, they are really shine. I mean, they're eyeballs especially. So, I mean, those fish can see them really good, you know. But,
a diving plug, a shallow diving plug works really well, or a twitch bait. That's the two things I use mostly. Unless you get the live shrimp to, you know, that afternoon before you go.
Yeah.
And keeping them alive this time of year is kind of tough. And they don't have any bait shops open that time in the morning. So you got to do a little planning to make your trip worth the while. So, but I stay with artificial, and I do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some nights better than others.
Yeah.
But usually, if you're careful, it's a lot cooler.
Yeah, I bet. I know Thursday morning when I was watching the weather before I went out there and started hooking at the boat, they said in Tucson, Arizona, I was watching, they said Tucson, Arizona, I think it was 10 after 5 when Richard Nunn come on Channel 3, and he said it was 100 degrees in Tucson, Arizona right then, and right before daylight, he said it'll drop to their nighttime low of 97.
Wow.
Oh, that sounds inviting.
Anyway, 222-8255. Give us a call if you like, and let us know if you're on the water out there. And I'm going to text Chris and Ted, see if they get all set up and see if they've got a bite yet. We'll be back after this.
AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The return of American remains from the Korean War by North Korea signals a positive first step in President Trump's diplomacy with Pyongyang. It may also restart efforts to send U.S. teams into the country to search for additional war dead. When the newly released Korean War remains are sent for analysis to a military lab in Hawaii, they'll enter a system that routinely identifies service members from that decades-old conflict. The process combines several lines of evidence, including bone analysis and DNA. The leaders of France, Spain, and Portugal say they're moving ahead with plans to diversify their energy sources. That could mean more imports of liquefied natural gas from the United States. President Trump says it's one of the outcomes of his talk about tariffs and trade policies with European trading partners. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down by 76 points. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
The year was 1957, and Elvis Presley had the number one hit that year, All Shook Up. And in Liverpool, England, the Cavern Club opened and featured the Beatles, which is where the Fab Four got their start. 1957 was also the year that the Boger family opened their shoe store on Park Street here in Jacksonville. Since then, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Boger Shoes specializes in extra-wide width shoes, and they offer free evaluations and fittings by three board-certified podiatrists on staff. With your doctor's prescription, they can custom-make orthotics in their on-site lab. And this month, Boger Shoes is featuring the Birkenstock Giza, a proven classic with signature support and an anatomically shaped court latex footbed. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoes' success since 1957. Stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger Shoes difference. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet. Leave the summertime cooking to the original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, just west of 295. Dine in, drive through, or use Uber Eats. The original Kronos Gyros, shrimp, fish, oysters, wings, and more. The original Tunis can cater any occasion. 317-9300. And talk with Z, the owner and founder. Ask him how your church or civic group can use the original Tunis Restaurant for your next fundraiser. The original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, open 7 days a week. Come meet Z, the founder.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, August 1st from 5 to 9 p.m. It's the first Wednesday Art Walk in Hemming Park in downtown Jacksonville. Wednesday, August 1st at 6 p.m. It's Music by the Sea at the St. Johns County Pier Pavilion at St. Augustine Beach. And Saturday, August 4th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
WBOB tackles the issues.
When I look at some of these mass shootings that have happened in the past, a lot of these teachers had to sacrifice themselves to protect their students. Well, why not put them in the best position to fight back?
Every day.
Federal district judge in California expanded the ruling to say that even accompanied children can't be held for more than 20 days. I don't see how they can unless Congress gets its act together and passes legislation.
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
No slowdowns to report, some good driving around town. As for the weather, well, a little bit of rain, 30% chance of that today. Partly sunny, going to get up to about 91. Watch out to stay cool, heat index of 101, 40% chance of rain tonight. Mostly cloudy, down to 76 degrees. It is down to 76 right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. I want to remind everybody, the ferry is going to be closed. The Mayport Ferry is going to be closed for a good length of time this time, from September the 4th through October the 31st. So September 4th through October 31st, It's going to be the phase three of their construction. And, you know, they're going to replace terminal bridges and perform required maintenance and stuff like that on it. So anyway, September 4th through October 31st, you're going to have to find another way to go around Dane's Point Bridge. That's about it. So, I know they've closed it off and on here lately for doing different things and all, but this is a almost right at a 2 month closure. That's pretty long.
That's a long time for commuters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially people who usually, you know, get over there and go to Mayport right there, you know, trying to go to the base or whatever from the north side. But anyway, it's not that much farther around for, you know, Dane's Point. That's usually the way I go anyway.
You mean the bridge is nowhere?
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do. When you said that, I remember that. And I remember they was going to, first off, when they talked about it, it was going to be a toll bridge, you know. But it was like, man, if they had a toll bridge, much traffic. You know what gets me, too, is, I mean, here, you know, haven't had that bridge for years and years and years, you know, growing up here all my life and everything. All of a sudden, they build that bridge, and my goodness, the traffic, I mean, just appeared out of nowhere that goes across that thing, you know. But you look at it, and you think, well, the next bridge is the Matthews. I mean, to go across there. So, I mean, that's quite a ways off. But it's just the amount of traffic's on that bridge. When you're in the Cove and you watch that traffic, because you can see it there better than you can in the St. John's with it's that high. It's just, it's a wonder. It's like when they built that River City Mall out there off of between Main Street and the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had no mall out there. You know, they built that mall. And there's like a million people come from somewhere. <You know? laughs> I guess people stop going to the avenues or Regency. I guess Regency's about dead anyway now. But stop going to the avenues and places like that, and they started going closer to home. But, man, I mean, at Christmas time, they got several cops out there because of the traffic, you know. But it's like nobody was shopping out there on the north side, and all of a sudden now it's like a million extra people out there.
You build it, they will come.
That's it. They did, too, especially in shopping centers. Man. But I want to remind everybody that Mike Darvo, Captain Mike Darvo, does a really good service on your outboard motors, on Yamaha outboard motors. He'll do water pumps, oil changes, fuel filters, you know, spark plugs, all that stuff. And he'll come to your house and do it. So just want to remind everybody in case you – was talking or didn't hear his ad on here. But anyway, his phone number is 904-614-3423. That's 614-3423. You know, come right to your house and do it, so you don't have to worry about taking it to a shop on your day off or something like that. You'll come right to your house and do it. So give Captain Mike a call. Have y'all been north of Nassau Sound in a while?
It's been a few years,
man. Yeah. Yeah, I usually don't go north of the Sound. I mean, I have, you know, in the past and stuff. And I fished all the way up into Fernandina. And of course, when the ISA was going on, the Inshore Saltwater Anglers Club, I fished up there quite a bit because they had tournaments up there, you know, out of that, what is it, D.D. Bartlett?
Yes.
Ramp or Bartles?
Yeah.
Is it Bartlett or Bartles? I can't remember.
D.D. Bartles.
Bartles, yeah. And that's a nice ramp.
Yes, it is.
Know, that has very plenty nice of parking. That's a big parking lot for that ramp.
We used to have a what was the name of that creek that we used to go to, a horseshoe?
Well, there's an area up in there called the Horsehead.
Horsehead.
We used to fish. It's a bunch of islands and stuff, and then, you know, Nassauville is right up there just to the, I guess it would be the west or the northwest of it. But a lot of areas up in there to fish, you know, a lot of creeks that move in and out there. A lot of shallow areas, a lot of areas you can get out of the wind, you know. So it used to be an area we fished a lot when we fished tournaments. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Tiger Basin up there and all.
Yeah.
And I understand that's silted in a lot now.
Oh, really?
You know, but I know it was shallow in there to start with, you know. But I used to take my Caroline skiff up in there. But, you know, I haven't since I've had this boat, I haven't been up there. I hadn't even been north of Nassau in this boat. So Nassau River, I mean.
I recall one time we had a tournament up there, and we were going down the Intercoastal Waterway, going south back toward Jacksonville a little bit, and I said, Charlie, I says, that boat sure does look high on the water. And it was two friends of ours, and they were high and dry.
Yeah, yep. a lot of sandbars up in that area, and they, just like the Fort George Inlet, they move around a lot, it seems like. So mm-hmm. 1 month you go up there, and it's normal navigation. The next month you go, well, you got to watch yourself because you're aground all of a sudden. Yeah.
Matter of fact, when Irma came through, you know, there's two ways to go from the intercoastal to Clapboard Creek all the way through there. Well, one of them is right there, right out of the manatee zone. You know, you can go that way. But when you get right on up by Fort George Inlet at marker 77 up there, there's a creek there. You can turn and go down through there and come out and Clapboard. And so I was coming back from Fort George Inlet, and I have not traveled that way lately. The tide wasn't low, but since Hurricane Irma, there's two places over there that's really silted in, because I was coming through there, and I usually slow down in case I hit the bottom. You know, with my motor, I jacked the motor up and kind of eased through there. When the tide gets like halfway low, which is about what it was yesterday when I left Nassau Sound. And when I come through there, I mean, it actually stopped the boat, you know. Of course, I wasn't, you know, luckily I wasn't running 40 miles an hour, you know. But so anyway, like I say, I knew it had silted in some, but this is really silted in. And now, of course, I think once those sandbars build a little bit, it must hold. You know, must trap more dirt and then builds higher and higher. So that's an area right there that I don't know if it's going to get where it's going to flow through there and clean it out or not. Because we've had some really high tides, which would have a good outgoing flow, you know. And
I would be a bit surprised in the next few years that there are going to be times where in Fort George Inlet, I mean, the sand's so high now, you can hardly get in and out of there on low tide. Mm-hmm. And I think sooner or later, it's going to be landlocked.
Yeah. Yeah, the old Redneck Riviera is going to be blocked off. I know you go up there on the weekend, man. It's a mess, you know. But I don't know, maybe that some of those boats, I'm surprised some of those boats even get in there now, you know. And they probably have to wait till the tide comes back in to get out of there. But, you know, some of the ones go up there and beach on the sandbar and party and, you know, raft up together and stuff like that. But it's a mess up there on the weekends. But, and there's still people going up there a lot, because I see them at the boat ramp on Sunday afternoon when I'm trying to get the boat on the trailer, and they come flying through there, you know. They've been up there partying and drinking and all that, and then they come through that manatee zone. They don't pay a bit of attention. You know, either that or they've got the boat slowed down just enough that they got the bow up and pushing a bigger wake, you know. But it's something the Marine Patrol ought to look at maybe in that area.
No wake is a very subjective term.
It is. Well, your bow is supposed to be level in the water. That's the actual term that they use. And if your bow is up a little, you know, that's not a no wake. But, I mean, you know, y'all know how it is. They come through there, you know.
Down south.
Bang your boat all up against the dock, you know. Uh-huh.
Down south, they take it pretty serious.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll pull you over and give you a ticket. Around here, not so much, you know.
Yeah, I think it's because they got to see you, you know. And, I mean, when you look at it, as few, you know, Marine Patrol officers they have for the whole state, they're kind of spread out.
They are.
Yeah, you know, they really are. I mean, a lot of people say, gosh, I see three or four of them every day. They're probably keeping an eye on that boat because he's been caught.
There's a reason they see him.
Exactly.
They're easy fish to catch.
So, you know, that might be the problem there. But, you know, most of the time, I mean, I'll go days and not see one, you know, because they are spread out so few and far between. You figure there's 842, I think, for the entire state. And you spread 842 people out and you put them on a 12-hour shift, that cuts that in half. All right. And then you have some of them are even, you know, chicken seafood markets and all that stuff. I mean, it's spread pretty thin.
Yeah.
You know. 222-8255 is the number to call. We got one more segment here. Nancy, if you can hold on, the only reason I didn't get you on here is we're fixed to go on break. And but if you can hold on, I'll get you on as soon as we come back. We'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And we got Nancy, been patiently waiting, I think. Morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
And I listened with interest very much about people drinking beer and boating.
And yes, ma'am.
You say that's a problem?
Well, it's not a problem most of the time. People can go out and have, you know, a few alcoholic beverages. If you're operating a boat, you're not supposed to have any, of course. But your passengers can have as many as they want.
Okay. Now, you think that's a problem. Wait till all these goons all over this country legalize marijuana.
Maybe. I don't know.
And you think I'm kidding? You should see the trouble that they're having already in the states where marijuana is legalized. It is unbelievable. The social services, people driving, people on the street, riding their bicycles, riding their mopeds, and it just clicked, boating. That's why, and I'm not even going to mention the goofball that's heading up that campaign. He's just doing it because he wants his law firm to have more business.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Anyway, I didn't mean to get on my high horse about that. But you told that lady to buy a box of rocks?
Yes. It's not just a box of rocks. It looks like a little net bag. You can see the rocks in it, but what they are is they're made to absorb the moisture in a room. And it's sort of like Damprid. You know, Damprid has the crystals in it. Well, these are bigger rocks, but it's just not plain rocks. They're actually man-made rocks to absorb moisture out of the room.
And, you know, Jacksonville is damper. I moved here from the Melbourne area. Jacksonville is damper than Melbourne, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, this year everything's damper. We got rain every single day.
I mean, even my carpet, I'm standing on carpet. It feels damp.
Excuse me.
And now, let me ask you guys, because you seem to know everything. Does air conditioning take the humidity out of the air?
Yes, it does. It pulls the humidity, which helps cool the air.
Okay.
I'm not an air conditioner man. I'm just telling you from what I know. That's why you have a drain line outside that pulls the water out and drains it outside.
Sure. Now, are your boats air conditioned?
No, ma'am. Now I have a cool mist system on my boat which sprays people with fresh water, and it's called a mister. Sort of like, you know how they have the mist machines in Disney World, Sea World, places like that. I have one on my boat. Yeah. And what I do is turn it on and mist you down a little bit with fresh water, and it's a whole lot cooler. When it's like 98 degrees or 96 degrees, there's no breeze. It helps a whole lot. It helps a whole lot.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, listen, I enjoy your show very much. Stay on the air. Good luck. Have a good week. And happy fishing. What are they fishing like in Julington Creek now? What are they catching?
Probably up in Julington Creek, I would say speckled perch, and not many speckled perch, but I would say speckled perch, brim, catfish, and largemouth bass.
But you can't eat that bass and perch out of this creek, can you?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you can eat them.
But you fish down on the river.
Yes, I fish out toward the ocean more. It's in salt water and in the river, but it's, you know, up there around Junty Creek, that's a lot of fresh water.
I see. Okie dokie. Right. Well, listen, good luck. Thanks. Have a great week.
Thank you, Nancy.
Vote against that marijuana. We do not want legalized marijuana, do we?
Hey, it doesn't matter to me. I can't do it anyway. I'm on a random drug program. Just did my test week before last, matter of fact. But
good luck.
What I mean is they test us for drugs all the time when you're a captain.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, Nancy.
It should matter to you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a wonder. I talked to some captains. They said they haven't been tested in a while. I get tested about twice a year. It's crazy. Been doing this for 20 years and... I don't know.
They must be suspicious, Vic.
They must be. You know, been doing this 20 years and test clean every time, so I don't know what the deal is there. But anyway, they don't even find alcohol in my system. I don't drink enough alcohol even to register on it. I have maybe a margarita once a month or something like that, maybe. But anyway. So when y'all going back out again, do you know?
I'm going back out tomorrow afternoon. A buddy of mine's come into town. He moved over to the panhandle. We're going to probably put in about 6 o'clock. Hopefully it'll rain, you know, during that 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock time frame. Cool off the surface of the water a little bit, and we'll put in about 5 to 6 and fish till we get tired of fishing.
You know,
see if we can round something up.
Yeah, I'll be out tomorrow also. I forget how many people I got. I have to look that up. But also, I know that they came up with snapper season opening back up, and I'll pull it up here. August the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and then again August the 17th, 18th, and 19th. The red snapper, of course, would be one fish per person, but they're going to open both of them in August this year, both weekends in August. So I know they've been doing it in November when the nor'easters blow all the time. People can't hardly get out there and get to them. And usually in August, you know, you have no wind. That's when everybody wants wind, you know, usually. So hopefully this time people will be able to get out and get on them good. So that's August 10th, 11th, and 12th. And it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then August 17th, 18th, and 19th. So if you're going to go out there and get your red snapper, that's two weekends to do it. And I think y'all should mention something about y'all, Bobby, going to go out there, huh?
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. You know, I've got a bay boat now that if it's decent weather, we'll run out 15, 18 miles. And my buddies at Fish Offshore still, I hear a lot of good things as far as the snapper population out there. They're saying they're catching them kingfish trolling with pogies on the top, the snapper coming up yeah. and eating their baits. So, yeah. I think a lot of people are looking forward to this. You know, it's been pretty much shut down, like you say. I think when was the last time they had a season?
I think it's in November. Okay, and last year, the weather was so bad that they opened one more weekend. I think it was in December, But still, I mean, it's when you have it. And I know I talk to people about sheep's head fishing a lot. In November, we just seem to have a lot of nor'easters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And they'll generally last 3 to 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to change up our – when we're sheephead fishing, we have to change up our game plan if we're going to fish the jetties, because then you want to fish it like on that lower end of the tide where you get behind rocks, you know,
right.
get out of the wind, get a little bit smoother in there.
Yeah.
But usually I like the incoming tide out there a lot and then the first of the outgoing for the sheep's head. But, you know, in November you just have to kind of forget about the reds and the creeks at low tide and just go do that and then go do the reds later.
Yeah, hopefully this August opening, you know, the smaller boats can get out there because
right.
it's like I've told the folks. I said, yeah, if they're forecasting 2 to 4, we're probably not going out there and get beat up and tear the boat up. 1 to 3, we're good to go.
For one fish per person?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, if it's like you say, you go out there, I mean, it could be, you know, 1 foot or less, 1 to 2 feet. I mean, that's great. But, yeah, I mean, some of the openings they've had 6 to 8 foot seas.
Yeah.
And in November, and that's just crazy. I mean, I know people still go out there to get them,
yeah.
but I don't think it's that pleasurable to go out there and stuff like that just for one fish per person. You know?
Well, it's the safety aspect, too. You know, when you talk mm-hmm. about a lot of people got bay boats now, and they're going to run out there, but the thing is, you get out there, you got to get back, too.
Yeah.
And it's the safety. You got to always remember, as the captain of the boat, which you know very well, Vic, you are entirely responsible for your mm-hmm. crew of getting them back to port safely.
Oh yeah.
So don't just when it's chancy, it's not worth one fish per person.
No,
that's it.
No.
With the weather.
That's to me, it's not worth any fish.
No
matter what. It gets to a point to me now. Back before I started chartering, I had a creek boat and I had a boat that we went offshore in, and I'd fish that boat at the jetties and offshore, but. You know, it gets to a point where it's just not fun.
You don't want to get beat up.
You know, if it's that rough, you know, just stay inshore. I mean, you know, that's what I've always looked at. You know, it just gets to a point where it's not fun. And that's what you go for.
There you go.
You go for the fun, you know.
Absolutely.
The fish should be a plus. Well, I sure appreciate Charlie and Al for y'all coming in here. It was good. I appreciate it.
Hey,
good
thanks time. For having it.
Good it's time,
a,
man.
Yeah, it's a unique opportunity for people that don't get to be on the radio or,
yeah.
you know. So it's something new, something different. It's just like fishing right now. It should be new and different because maybe they're not biting as well as we'd like. Try new places. Go different places. Put in a different ramp.
Exactly. Yeah, try a different spot. I mean, that's always good. Tune in for Ask an Attorney, and they'll be on right after us.